Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 672. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is laying on the floor near me, bathing in the sun. He can't do that downstairs. He's got to do it upstairs now. Not much sunlight in the downstairs. Yes, I'm recording this on the 4th of July. I'm getting an alert on my computer here that there's hot days ahead, and I'm not looking forward to that. Not looking forward to the heat, but it is 4th of July, Friday, 4th of July. Because I did have stuff going on tomorrow, as I normally record on Saturdays. Decided to just knock it out of the park since I'm off today for the holiday, celebrating America. It's kind of a weird one, as though we live in a fascist country now, and you know, it should be a day to celebrate democracy, yet that seems to be gone. So, I mean, blowing stuff up is always just fun. So, I guess it really fits now. Now that we've blown up democracy, it's just, why not just blow up more shit? Why not? The American way. Wasn't planning on starting out like that, but you know, we're just winning so much these days. Winning so much. Too much excitement there. That is the nonstop winning. Is shit just seems to get darker. But speaking of dark shit, but I've been watching a ton of movies because I need something to wash my brain of everything that's going on around. I gotta. And I just don't feel like taking drugs, like heavy drugs, or boozing. My body can't handle the booze anymore, so I can't wash it away that way. So I'm just diving back down into things that I loved in the past, you know, like movies and music. I had already been watching a lot of the old Tarantino films, which I just gotten actually. I had watched the Tarantino Rodriguez double feature, the Grindhouse double feature. It was put out in, I believe, 2007. You know, a long fucking time ago now. 2006, 2007. Hell, I'm not even sure. It's somewhere around there. I want to say it was 2007. Off the top of my head. As, you know, I love that. Seeing that in the theater, of course, you know, I've talked about it fairly recently. They had the fake trailers in between the two films. Or of course, Planet Terror was the first film. And that was by Robert Rodriguez. He directed that one. And then the second film in the double feature was Tarantino's Death Proof. And in between the two films, they had fake trailers for movies. And originally, they had planned a whole thing. I believe, from what I understand, that they were going to put out more double features. And it wasn't as popular as they would have hoped. I was a fan of it. but they were going to do more of these like Grindhouse homage films. And but, you know, we did eventually get several of the fake trailers did become real movies. With, of course, Machete. Machete. Love that fucking announcer. His name eludes me, but Machete. They fucked with a wrong Mexican. Machete. And of course, Hobo with a Shotgun, Rutger Hauer. Just going apeshit with the shotgun. Fantastic. I love that film. And then we eventually got The Thanksgiving, which I feel like Hobo with a Shotgun. And Machete was pretty much the trailer you got. I mean, they did the Thanksgiving, though, really steered more of. It was not so much when that one finally came out. Wasn't really so much an homage to Grindhouse. It was more of like a modern horror film. as opposed to like what the trailer appeared, which I enjoyed the movie, you know, Thanksgiving. Feel like I got to remember to watch that every Thanksgiving now. But the campiness and everything of the, it was pretty fantastic watching the Grindhouse double feature and the fake trailers on my projector. As something special, something very special, touching a part of my heart I didn't know still existed. Yeah, to Tarantino, the whole point I was getting at talking about Tarantino is, unfortunately, on July 3rd, yesterday, one of the best actors to appear in Tarantino's films. He appeared in several. One Michael Madsen, unfortunately, passed away. It sounds like cardiac arrest. He was 67. But because, you know, he passed away yesterday, I went back and watched Reservoir Dogs. And that's the first time I've seen Reservoir Dogs in many years. I couldn't tell you. I think I've owned a few different copies of Reservoir Dogs. I want to say I had it on VHS, but I don't... I got rid of my VHS a long time ago. I do have the DVD of it where it looks like the gas can, because, of course... and I did just buy the digital copy on Amazon Prime, high def, but yeah, I watched it again. And speaking of the gas can, I mean, that is like the most famous scene with Michael Madsen, like, of all time. Now, Michael Madsen has appeared in a fuck ton of movies, but I gotta say, his role as Mr. Blonde, aka Vic Vega, is quite possibly, man, Reservoir Dogs has so many cool collectors edition ones. They got the cop with the missing, the ear slice stuff. But the gas can, I got the gas can one. But it was, I mean, that scene, Jesus, man, that scene is pretty classic. Of course, if you're unfamiliar with Reservoir Dogs, well, you should probably watch it. It's an entertaining film. Historically speaking, as far as Tarantino's concerned, it was his first it was his directorial debut. He had written several screenplays by that point. I want to say he sold two of them beforehand. True Romance, I believe, was the first one he wrote and sold. Another great film. Tony Scott would end up directing that. Of course, Tony Scott is the brother of Ridley Scott, and he had directed Top Gun, the original. He was dead by the time the second one had come out. Anyway. But that one's a great one, True Romance. And from what I understand, you know, he had taken the proceeds that he had gotten from some of that, and possibly Natural Born Killers. Of course, he sold that one off, and Oliver Stone directed it. Now, I don't remember if he got that before, or had sold that before Reservoir Dogs. I know he at least sold True Romance. And, yeah, I mean, he had a shoestring budget and made Reservoir Dogs. And for a very low-budget movie, I mean, you can't ask for a better, like, film than Reservoir Dogs. But Michael Madsen was in... I was checking out his IMDb, and that guy was in a fuck ton of movies. A fuck ton of movies and TV shows. He was a jobber. This is they call in the wrestling business. He was all for just, you know, he worked a lot. And anyway, I would say, you know, Reservoir Dogs is what really put him on the map. And I got to say, I mean, that's like the role, the most iconic role for him. Although, you know, he you know, he's in more than one Tarantino film, and he was Bud, Bill's brother, in Kill Bill 1 and 2, which I don't think he's really in the first one much, whereas his character doesn't really appear a lot until Kill Bill Volume 2, whereas he's got the trailer out in Vegas, where Beatrix comes to hunt him down. And, of course, spoiler alert to Kill Bill Volume 2, he dies. But anyway, yeah, I mean, that performance in Reservoir Dogs, it's just a Steeler's wheel stuck in the middle with you. Like Harvey Keitel and Chris Penn leave. And I guess Steve Buscemi also, they all three leave. And you got Michael Madsen left with the cop he had kidnapped. And Mr. Orange was played by, of course, Tim Roth. That's like bleeding out of his stomach from the shot in the belly. Is in there. And then once everybody leaves, and it's just the three of those people in there, of course, shit hits the fan. As yeah, Michael Madsen, Mr. Blonde, of course, proceeds to turn on what's the name of the radio station? With Stephen Wright is the DJ on the Bob's something, Billy Bob, or where the fuck, Super Sounds of the 70s. Whatever it is, radio station is going on, and he's like talking about Mr. Blonde, saying like that's his favorite, and he turns it on, and then Steeler's Wheels Stuck in the Middle with You comes on, and he's just dancing along to the song and proceeds to torture the cop and take off his fucking ear. And then, of course, Tim Roth, aka Mr. Orange, shoots him and kills him. And just, it's just great scene. I mean, his performance there as Mr. Blonde, who's clearly fucking a sadistic fuck, but is just cool as all hell. As he's just got this just coolness factor to him. And holy shit, the voice on Michael Madsen, that, like, you know, I'm an admirer of a good voice, and holy fuck, that is a voice that my brain will always hear, you know? Unless, I mean, give it a week or two and the dementia will fully kick in. Because I'm old as shit. Hopefully it'll be one of the last voices that I hear. Because that is just a fantastic voice. And as, you know, somebody that has done a little bit of broadcasting and just really enjoys a good voice, whether it be, you know, just, you know, announcers or what have you. I just love a good voice. I'm an audiophile, if you will. Yeah, I mean, that just sucks, you know. But but the magic of, you know, when an actor passes on, we still have we will forever, I mean, I can still go back and watch Reservoir Dogs again. And, of course, he's in The Hateful Eight. He's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I believe, but it's a fairly small role. I think, you know, the two films that you really want to watch, as far as Tarantino is concerned, and Michael Madsen, are Reservoir Dogs and Kill Bill, Volume 2. Volume 1 again. He's not really in that much. But it's basically one film. I feel like you can't just watch Kill Bill 1 without then again going and watching Kill Bill 2. That's just, you got to do that. It's just how it is. Of course, the character Vic Vega is John Travolta's brother, of course, in Pulp Fiction. He plays Vincent Vega, and his brother is Vic Vega. But there was, Tarantino had, I guess, toyed with the idea early on about making a Brothers Vega movie, I believe. But that never came to fruition. I think it would have been pretty great. Having more Vic Vega would have been pretty awesome. I think that's it's a damn shame we never got that. That being said, yeah, I mean, shit, Michael Madsen was in just a fuck ton of things. On his IMDb page, a lot of this, I'm pretty sure, is like pretty small roles. But on his previous roles, all the things you can currently watch as an actor, he's got 327 credits. And there's 17 upcoming. So there's 17 things that are coming out in the future that we have not seen yet. Of course, a lot of this is TV shows, or some of it's TV shows. Goddamn. Guy did a lot of shit. Most of it, of course, not really big stuff. But, you know, he was in... he had some really good quality stuff. And there's an odd smorgasbord of genres going on here. I mean, a lot of times he is just playing like a criminal or, you know, outlaw sort of thing. But then he does shit like he was fucking like the father or stepfather, whatever the fuck it was, in Free Willy. One and two. As Agent Mulder's getting fed. His bowl is going off. He was already down there, ready to pounce on the food. Holy shit, yeah, I mean, this IMDb just keeps going on. Shelley brought it to my attention last night. We were texting each other about Michael Madsen, and he was like, I'm going to watch Species tonight. And like, holy shit, I haven't watched that in a couple of decades. Forgotten that Michael Madsen was in there. But and when I looked up Species, I didn't realize how many sequels. I knew they had made like two. I've seen one and two. I'm pretty sure I've seen the second one. But I guess I had known probably that there was a third. But there's like at least four Species movies. At least. I was unaware that they continued to make them. That is a classic horror movie. Natasha Henstridge playing like the alien killer. Holy fuck, there's a bunch of stuff with Species in the title. I don't know how many of these are actually Species. Well, one of them was a fucking TV movie. Some of these I don't think are in the... I think there's just four in the... that are part of that franchise that I'm seeing here. There's just a lot of movies with Species in the title that I think are unrelated, but it looks like there was four followed like ending with a TV movie called Species The Awakening. So looks like some pretty bad, like a bad budget. The Awakening. I don't even remember. I'm pretty sure I never saw the third, but maybe I saw the third. Not sure. I'm certain I saw the second, but we're talking about so long ago that, the Species 3 was a TV movie too. And that's why I didn't see it. That's why I didn't see it. Came out in 2004. I had cable at that point in time. I don't believe I watched that one. I mean, it already lost a lot of popularity or what have you. As that is not... Can't imagine a lot of people probably saw Species 3 being a TV movie, but you know, I guess a fair amount of people. I mean, I remember the first one being a decent, and then the second one, sure-ish, kind of remember it. I mean, Natasha Henstridge and Michael Madsen were both in the part two. So, I mean, you got the big players coming back for the sequel. And it was, I think the second one was not a TV movie. I mean, if you're going to put Michael Madsen in it and Natasha Henstridge back, you know, at that point in time, I mean, she was never real big. I guess Species was like the biggest thing she had ever done that I'm aware of. But, looking at the pictures from this. It's so funny. I remember, you know, seeing this shit in the theater. Not the second one. I think I watched the second one just, hell, maybe it didn't get a theatrical release, but I think I just saw that one like as a rental or something back in the day. Well, 2004, am I still renting stuff? Is that, wait, was that, what year did this come out? I feel like that was in 1998. Okay, I'm still renting videos by this point. 98. So yeah, I probably rented that, or again, I mean, I had cable at that point, I believe, in time as well. So there is the possibility I could have watched that via cable later on. But, you know, honestly, it's like I haven't seen it. I don't really remember much about it. Hell, I don't remember a whole lot about the original. Other than Natasha Henstridge was this evil fucking alien that was also, you know, really attractive. As, the alien is so weird to me. I mean, it is like clearly they wanted to give you like an alien, like from the movie Alien, like a bit of a ripoff from that. But, like, it's like a cheap knockoff, to say the least. And it's not, yeah, it's not great. It's not great. It is, what was the name of the, Giger, HR, whatever Giger, that, designed the original Alien. I mean, it does have that, and hell, maybe it was involved in this. But, it is not that same look. I'm curious to what people have said about the look of the Alien. Let's find some fucking reviews here. As, oh, here we go. Here's user reviews. There it is. This is on Species 2. There's enjoyable trash, a couple of entertainment. Let's see what there. Yeah, most of them are not great. There's some people that are on board with the let's read read a real short to the point one. This is a don't see this if you like the original one. So you're saying if you watched the original one and hated it, be my guest. How is that logic? Tell me why does a film company gives a green light? I'm just reading it how it's written here. Green light to a production like this. It's really a stupid story. Three men comes after 11 months from Mars, bring back an alien, etc., etc. Much blood and awful effects. Never heard of less is more. Don't see this if you like the original one. 0 out of 10. I guess you can't give a 0 because it says 1 out of 10 above that. I got to say, there's some people that are excited about it, though. There's, I'll read one more here. Oh, they don't even give it a star rating. This is from Swamp Fox. I love that. Anything with Swamp. That first person was Sunny22, by the way. Swamp Fox. In 1999, so I feel like this was, you know, they had just seen this like maybe a year ago, if that, or just, you know, just got it on video, what have you. This is going back a bit. oh my God, is this thing bad? A lot of people must have needed to make house payments. Their names listed at the beginning of this film as a testament. Put another way, one could do a Jeff Foxworthy-esque comedy bit called Your Career Might Be in Trouble If, and the answer is you worked on Species 2. Hey, Michael Madsen would still go on to do a couple more Tarantino films, so fuck off. Anyway, I've never felt so embarrassed for a group of actors as I had watching these thespians run through painfully stupid dialogue. The script is so inept, you have to wonder if it wasn't written by a committee of middle schoolers. Except for the sex and violence, or more succinctly, the sexual violence, the filmmakers have some definite problems with women. Unlike the first film with this outing, makes to look like 2001 by comparison. Here we only see women being ripped bloodily apart, usually during sex. There are bad movies that are fun. Oh shit, I lost my place. There are bad movies that are fun to watch and laugh at. This turd is not one of them. Oh, not a fan. I'm going to try to find one more good review. Oh shit. Let's find a 8 out of 10. I thought I read one higher than that. Let's go to the 8 out of 10. I think that looks to be about the best rating you're going to find. This person's the outlier. This is somebody that worked for the company here. This is 2011. This is a while after. They're not really helping sell the movie at this point. Adequate sequel with some good points. After returning from a mission to Mars, a team of experts tracks down the infected astronaut carrying a parasitic alien before he can meet up and mate with a similar human-slash-alien hybrid. A very rewarding sequel to a fine original. This one turned out to be very enjoyable. By adapting a more straight-up storyline instead of dealing with all the science and facts, there's considerably more action in this one in terms of splattered victims, which seems to be the main focus of the first half. With an increase of splatter, there's some great kills and creature makeup used during those scenes. And the tentacle beings covered in slime generate a lot of fun, especially bursting forth from people's stomachs or chasing around the ground, which are good times. Several other scenes with the alien children shooting their cocoons together, and the effects work there allows even more goopy, gory fun in conjunction with a continuation of fun kills. Miraculous healing abilities from both creatures and copious nudity. There are some flaws here, though. Namely, the decision to allow the captured male into the quarantine zone with a girl when there's plenty of knowledge to indicate his goal is to mate with her, as well as the film's rather tacky CGI during the finale when the practical effects were working so well. It loses some steam in the middle where they keep coming up short in the quest to stop him rampaging and raping women, as they're always on the other end of it. But otherwise, there's still a lot to like here. One of the few fans to Species 2. You know, I don't remember much about it. I think I remember more of the first one. I forgot that she was a hybrid. I was thinking she just put like on human skin, but I guess she's a human alien hybrid. It's got some awful 90s effects, which at the time were not that horrible. I mean, it was decent stuff. But oh man, there's a great shot of a woman with the tentacles shooting out of her belly and lifting a guy up. That's worth the price of admission for me, right there. Right there, that is something. On to different news, I suppose. Of course, tomorrow, July 5th. Well, I'm saying that tomorrow as in the day I put this out, it will actually be July 6th. So when you listen to this, it's already going to be over. But I did, I paid for the Back to the Beginning concert. It's the final show of Ozzy Osbourne there, and of course Black Sabbath. As Ozzy, of course, I talked about it last week and maybe before then. He has Parkinson's. Really can't even walk anymore. I mean, he can't really travel, so touring's just out of the question. Which, you know, I did pay for the live stream. I'm not flying to London tonight or Birmingham. Well, I don't know that Birmingham has an airport. I'd probably have to fly to London. Can't imagine they'd have at least a international airport. I don't know how big Birmingham is, though, really. Anywho, I paid for the live stream. Unfortunately, I won't. I've got to do a run tomorrow morning. But I had already planned on watching this concert. But apparently, there's a wine run. I don't want to really hang out afterwards. I just want to do the run part, I guess. I don't know. I don't really want to run. But I also did just talk about basically doing a 50K, which is like 31 miles-ish. In September, so I'm going to have to get some mileage in before then. I've already done like 15 miles this week, which is a lot for me this year at least. So I won't be getting on right when the concert starts. Of course, you know, I can watch it. I believe with this live stream, I have until basically the 7th. Yeah, I basically have 24 hours to watch this thing because, like, well, over 24 hours, I guess. Or no, I guess. Shit. Well, I'm probably not gonna watch the whole thing. I'll imagine I'll watch the bands that I really want to see in there. Maybe skip around a little bit. But I won't be watching it as it starts, because I want to say it starts 9 a.m. here. But I'll have a chance to, you know, watch it a little bit afterwards. I do have, I got the shirt. It'd be nice to have a Black Sabbath shirt that doesn't have holes in it. I am interested to see how that goes. I definitely want to see Tool. And I want to see if they do any Ozzy covers or Black Sabbath. Which I did hear Maynard, there was a show for Ozzy that they had done where Maynard, I guess it was some kind of tribute to Ozzy. I don't remember what it was. Maynard did, I want to say it was Crazy Train. And Maynard's a great singer, but he can't quite do the high shit that, you know, Ozzy does. Ozzy's a different beast, you know. And I could tell it wasn't the best song for Maynard to be doing, but I could see, you know, I don't know what, maybe War Pigs would be a good one for Tool to do. I'm not really sure what would be like a go-to. I did see Judas Priest on the Black Sabbath's YouTube channel. They just put out a cover of War Pigs, and it was pretty good. I mean, I enjoy some Judas Priest, some Rob Halford, and he's got to be getting up there as well. But I thought he did a really good job on the vocals. I'm curious to see the Gojira, which I haven't really listened to a whole lot of Gojira, but I thought their performance at the start of the Olympics, I thought that was pretty great. The beheading of Marie Antoinette, you know, all that stuff. Like, that was a pretty fucking cool start to the Olympics. Feel like we need more metal these days. Metal! Really helps show a sign of the times. But there's, you know, Slayer. I'll probably check some of that out. Metallica. I could see Metallica doing some good Aussie covers. Again, I don't know that the, you know, they're all, I'm sure they're probably just doing their own shit. But I would imagine they'll probably maybe even get, you know, some bands playing together to do some sort of tribute, you know? I mean, Zakk Wylde's going to be there with Pantera. And he was, of course, Ozzy's guitarist. I don't remember what albums. But, of course, it was after Randy Rhoads, of course. After he had passed. I guess he was the... Shit. I haven't really dug deep on Ozzy's solo stuff in a long time, but I want to say he was the guitarist right after Randy Rhoads, but there might be a guitarist or two in there before that. I don't really recall. Most of my knowledge of Ozzy comes from those first, I don't know, what is 6 albums of Black Sabbath, whatever it was, which mainly, really, I only know the first 4, I guess. I mean, there was some good stuff after that, but there's just like really just a song or two I'm like really into after that. I've never really got big into the stuff outside of Ozzy, which I'm going to guess that Black Sabbath isn't going to do any more shows after this. Which again, like that, like every show, every tour that Black Sabbath has done for the last like 20 years has always been like the Last Supper, the final tour, the end. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they were to, say, do another show or tour. Obviously, if they're going to tour, Ozzy's not going to be with them. But, you know, they've had other front men. Again, there's only one Black Sabbath to me. And it's with Ozzy fucking Osbourne. But, you know, they had Ronnie James Dio, who's also no longer amongst the living. But, of course, there was that fella after Dio, which I guess is a... Now I gotta know. I think they only had 2 other guys besides Ozzy. Ronnie James Dio. I mean, there was... How many lead singers? Here we go. Oh, yeah, they had a few. Which Dio was like the biggest one outside of Ozzy. He was on there for Heaven and Hell. I don't know, there might have been a couple albums with Dio. Okay. Of course, Ozzy, because of his, you know, alcohol and drug abuse, it led to his dismissal from the band in 79. He was replaced by former Rainbow vocalist Ronnie James Dio. Okay, he had 2 albums with Black Sabbath. Following those 2 albums, Black Sabbath endured countless personnel changes in the 80s and 90s that included vocalists Ian Gillan, Glenn Hughes, Ray Gillan, and Tony Martin. Okay, Tony Martin's the only one I think I really recall. As well as several drummers and bassists. Then in 92, Iommi and Butler rejoined Dio and drummer Vinny Appice to record Dehumanizers. Okay, so they had at least one more Dio album. The original lineup reunited with Osbourne in 97 and released a live album, Reunion, Black Sabbath's 19th solo album, 13, which features all of the original members, but Ward, was released in June of 2013. But yeah, I mean, Black Sabbath, man. Some classic shit. Again, they're all so old. I highly doubt that they'll do anything post this show. Although, you know, again, everything's been final tour. The end. They're in their 70s. They're well into their 70s. I don't think they're going to be, you know, changing. Like Bill Ward, you know, they had a falling out with him. There were some issues. He wasn't in the last tour that they did, the end. And he is going to be at this show. So it is all four original members: Terry Geezer Butler, Tony Iommi, Ozzy Osbourne, and Bill Ward. So I feel pretty confident, even though, you know, it's possible it could do other shows. I feel like this is going to be the one. This is the final concert. As I guess we'll see. But I would venture to guess, though, that we're going to see, you know, some covers of Ozzy, some sort of tributes in here. As Guns N' Roses, I mean, I don't see what the full list is. I want to see what the full list of bands is. It's just, and many more. Like, can I get the whole, I can't get the whole. Show me the whole. Show me the whole lineup, bastards. I want to see the whole lineup. I'm not seeing it. Damn it. But anyway, yeah, I'm pretty excited to see all of that good stuff. I'd like to see Adam Jones do some Iommi. That, what if Jones steps up with Black Sabbath for something? I don't know what, like, would be really up Jones's alley. But I get maybe one of the C sharp standard songs. Do something with some lower tunings and just him go out there and just maybe Into the Void or something. I don't know. It would be great. Or just any member of Tool at that point. I'll know in apparently 20 hours and 30 minutes. I'll get the I'll get in on that. Actiones, as that's where we're sitting at the moment. I do have some news as far as the downstairs goes. I'm still haven't done the fucking drywall down there. I'm hoping to maybe push myself to do it later. We'll see. Don't count on it. I did order a, I believe I talked about this many weeks ago, a light fixture for the dining room that has, of course, a 35 millimeter film canister with a film. I think I picked Horror as the film because it actually has a thing of film around the outside of the film canister. I want to say I picked Horror as the genre. A film, but it has a light in the center of it, and I'm going to hang that, replace the chandelier that I've never been fond of, and that I thought of just replacing, you know, as soon as I moved in, but, you know, 4 years later, it's still there. But they finally sent it. I ordered it off htmarket.com or something of that nature. HT Market is the place. I'm assuming it's a .com. Without pulling up all my emails and all that shit. I don't know exactly. But it's supposed to arrive tomorrow. So I'll be able to do a little bit more with the downstairs. I did finally receive... I had ordered a Nightmare on Elm Street... basically, a 3D printout of the title. Like the font from the movie and everything. It's kind of cool. But you can get all sorts of those movie titles in the font 3D printed on Etsy for fairly cheap. But, you know, you got to pay for shipping. So after the shipping, you get kind of pricey. But it's a cool thing. I thought about, you know, possibly getting a bunch of those and different movies and lining the walls to give it a little bit more something in some areas. It's cool-ish until I think you get up close to the Nightmare on Elm Street, and see how there's not smooth at all. The 3D print gets very rough, which drives me a little crazy on there. But yeah, I haven't decided fully what to do. If not, I'll be messing with that. I am also going to be hopefully getting a different light fixture for the hallway, where I now at least have all the movie posters in frames and ready to put on the hall. That was something I did, but that wasn't really a whole lot of effort. That didn't take a whole lot of work. I like most of the movie posters I got. I don't think I'm going to be able to fit all of them down there. I've got like 10 altogether, and I don't think I have the wall space for that many, because they're 24 by 36 inches. So your standard movie poster size. And I don't know that the hallway I'm going to be able to put several down there. But again, I don't know that I've got two on the walls in the living room. I have space. I could put it by the projector screen, but I know that I'm going to end up reflecting light off there from the projector. That's going to be fucking annoying as shit. So I am not going to do that. Though there is space. There is space. But there's a few more little things. I think I will, once I fucking finish the hallway and whatnot, or maybe just on Amazon Prime Day, which is coming up in a few days, I might just go ahead and get a popcorn machine, as I do. I'm not real crazy about popcorn. Could care less. I do enjoy the smell, but I would just like to have that just for the aesthetic. Just have like a countertop one. And, you know, if I ever have like a movie night and a person or two over, I don't have any parking outside, so I can basically have one person over at a time, which is damn shame. I got a lot of room in here, but there is like no fucking parking outside. I have no parking. I think I'll probably at some point get popcorn machine. I am going to probably get some sort of different light fixture for the hallway. I don't think it's going to be a film canister. Although, I mean, it took fucking months to finally get this one. You know, maybe I'll decide to get a second one of those. I don't think so. I think I need something that the light that's going to come from that light fixture is going to be straight down of one light. I think I need something that's going to be to fill up the hallway a little bit better. I don't think I've found it just yet. I could always, at the end of the day, though, too, I could maybe put up like a film canister or something like that, and then maybe get just a couple of the posters on the walls, get the LED light boxes for them so there's light via that way. But those are pretty fucking expensive. You're looking at some cash there. We'll see. I'm also looking at, once that light fixture gets up in the dining room, I'm afraid that I'm going to have a lot less light in there. And if we're going to play some board games or something, I'm going to need a little something more. So I am thinking about getting old like movie light that looks, you know, very like 1950s-ish, or even before then, I guess. But something you'd see like light on a set. There's some pretty cool ones on Amazon. They got some like actual legit like vintage lights on Etsy, but they get pretty pricey. You know, I don't know. I just don't know yet exactly. Again, I'll find out, I guess, once I replace that light and see. I did get the brighter light to put in there, so hopefully it. But I'm thinking it's just like the light just goes straight down. Like there's, I think how the light fixture is set up, that you're not going to get light shooting out the sides, and that it's going to be directly down, and I'm afraid it's going to get even darker in there, if that's even possible at this point. But again, yeah, I may or may not have to put a fucking lamp in there. But again, before I finish the hallway, going to have to really need to finish that damn drywall. Which after this, I'm going to try to force myself to do that. I've been pushing it off and pushing it off because, one, I've been burnt out on painting and stuff and working overtime now and just not looking forward to doing drywall. And part of the reason, too, is there is mold back there. I don't want to fuck around with the mold because there was water damage. I'm afraid that once I cut into that, that I will find that there's more water damage behind there than what appears to be on the outside. And that could be a real bitch, you know, having to, then of course replace more than I bargained for. And then of course I'll have to, I'm not really looking forward to taping and mudding and taping. That's just not something I'm really excited about. But I guess it's got to be done. It's got to be done. And I'm really tired of it not being done. So it's like there's two sides of me that are in constant battle here. Hopefully, whatever happens, the side that wants to get it done hopefully wins and pushes through. But it is summertime too, and I'm finding that, you know, this is the time. Like I hadn't done like wine runs, I guess, in a couple of years, and then. The run group decided like it's time that we keep doing those on a regular basis. Like, fuck. Like, like, you know, that's fine. Like, it's fine doing one or so. I don't know that I want to keep doing them every fucking couple of weeks or whatever, but, everybody all at once. I guess now that we're several years removed from the pandemic, I got a little used to, I guess, the pandemic days when I didn't have to do anything. Like, yeah, nobody's going out. Nobody's doing anything. There was a bit of relief to that. I wasn't expected. I got just more comfortable and used to being just like, I'm going to stay at home and just do shit at home. but now we're like... far enough away from that that it seems like everybody now is just like they once wanted to do things, and it's like every weekend I've got I'm like, oh, I want to do something at home, and which that fucks with the doing gives me more excuses at least not to finish the work on the penthouse here, as it just seems like every weekend there's something going on, and just multiple things. I've got I'm just old and tired. I think that's what the problem is. Once upon a time this would seem like just like going on a couple of runs, and then also, you know, we're going to the bars tonight with my other group of friends. We're going, you know, wherever. There's just a lot of stuff. I'm kind of looking forward to wintertime, mainly because of hockey season. I want the hockey season. But my friends won't want to do as much stuff outside. It just seems natural to not. Want to do that then. Anyway. I'm just being a whiny little old bitch. I think that's the issue here. I'm just turning into a whiny old bitch. complaining because he's got too much things to do. That, again, aren't work. It's not, I mean, I am working a lot. That does make me a bit. That's more of the problem, I guess, is the working more hours and in the heat, and then not wanting to do anything afterwards. The working in the heat, man, that will wear you the fuck out. And I gotta say, I am sick and tired of hearing about how billionaires in this country are the hardest working fucking people that ever fucking existed, when in reality they've never had to work a day in their single fucking life. Work a day in a steel plant, you know, welding, or, you know, pour some fucking concrete, just for a fucking day. Let's see these scumbags do that for a fucking day. Fuck the billionaires. They're not geniuses that are the hardest workers you'll ever fucking meet. They're just, people that have fucked over a lot of people. That's my opinion, you know, but, yeah, that's, have them work a real fucking job, you know, dig a trench, or, you know, work on a built. Replace a fucking roof, you know, do some roofing. That's some hard shit, man. I was, you know, this is the time of year that happens more. Of course, I got mine done. Oh, fuck. That reminds me, I didn't call my insurance company yet to let them know that I got my roof replaced. I need to get on that. I got mine replaced, but I was just saying, going to say that I just saw, like, in the really bad heat, I guess it was last week, that the guys out there changing a roof and just like, oh, that shit. That's hard work, man. I've helped roof only a couple of times, and I know enough to know that, yeah, I don't want to do that for a living. And, but I got a rough job. That's real fucking work. And, that's way more work than any fucking billionaire ever does. But yeah. They run the show, though. They run the show. And it's just their fucking world we're living in, I guess. I am starting to get, like, as we are getting closer to September. Again, end of September, going to Germany. September 27th. Going to be there for Oktoberfest. My friend John from work. And it's becoming more real. And like, I feel like I'm going to get there. We're getting closer. When I first scheduled the trip, it seemed like it was never going to happen. Like, am I going to be alive at this point? I mean, you know, the way things are going. Who knows? I could just get deported to El Salvador before then, because I've said bad shit. As regards to our current dictatorship or whatever, you know. I need to start practicing my German, and I haven't been doing that. I need to get my head in the game there. But yeah, I'm pretty much ready to go. I mean, I got the passport, tickets are all lined up. I do need to call the bank. Let them know that I will be in a foreign country then, and to not put a hold on my card or anything like that. I will be spending money in foreign countries, so I'll have to make sure that they know that, and get a hold of the phone company and about a phone plan for that week or whatever. So I'm not. Because I'll be using the phone constantly there. I'll be using the old GPS to find my way around. I'll be turning on roaming. That shit can add up if you don't do like a special phone plan. But the phone companies do have deals where you can just do it for like a week or whatever. Or a month. I don't remember. It's been a few years since I've left the country. Hell, that might have changed. Since last I went, I suppose I'll be finding out here soon. But again, yeah, I'm getting pretty excited about it. Initially, I thought I was going to buy some really nice Lederhosen. I'm starting to get to a point, though, where I spent a good percentage of my money from the home equity loan. And like, yeah, I don't know, I want to spend a lot of money on Lederhosen. You get some nice leather shorts, though. I mean, you'll have those forever. We'll see. I am just looking forward to just being on vacation, really. It's going to be, I imagine we'll have some fun. Will they allow me back into the U.S. afterwards? That's going to be a good question. I guess I just better make sure that I don't have any memes of J.D. Vance on my phone. Make sure that that's not on the phone. Although, you know, maybe I wouldn't mind being deported to Germany if I'm going to be deported anywhere. I'd prefer it be somewhere in Europe. But hopefully I don't go to El Salvador or, wherever they're fucking planning on deporting people yet or now. Or, you know, maybe I'll go to fucking Alcatraz or more like Auschwitz, whatever. I would have Fox taken care of, but I am really starting to bum about that and feel kind of bad that I'm going to be leaving him just for a week. Like, the cat is like my best friend here. He's very attached to me. And, when I leave just for, you know, a few hours, he gets very upset with me. he's used to me leaving for work. That's just kind of a routine. So he's used to that at least. But when I leave like at an unscheduled, not normal time, and, I come back real fucking late, and he gets very upset about that and lets me know. And I'm just worried, you know, leaving for a week, he's going to be just wanting constantly like at the door meowing. I don't, you know, I'm worried that he's going to get so stressed out, but I guess we'll see what happens. I do have some people that I'm pretty sure are going to check up on him like each day and make sure that he's all right. I thought about seeing if somebody would I thought maybe I could get somebody to house sit for me. I don't think that's going to happen, but I believe I can get people to check in on him like once a day. Make sure that he's, you know, eating and what have you. Hopefully, you know, I don't know what he'll do when some stranger comes over and just kind of sits there. I don't know if he's going to be real. I imagine like he's not really scared of people except for like young children. Like he does when they're like just a couple years old. Like he knows, like, get the fuck out of Dodge. I'm not going near that. It's definitely not something he enjoys. But for the most part, I mean, he's pretty friendly. Again, he's like so attached to me though. I mean, I feel like I'm gonna really give him some abandonment issues by being gone for a week. And I feel like I'm going to totally break his heart. Then again, you know, I'm pretty excited about going on vacation again. It's a weird, weird set of feelings, I guess, I have towards it. But I'm sure he'll get over it, you know? I'm sure Fox here will finally, he'll survive. He'll survive. I guess that's pretty much all I have to say. That's really all I've got for the moment. So as always, that is Kid in a Wheelchair, not a trash can.